Question 99. What is the kingdom of God like? Luke 13:18. Then he said, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it?" Mark 4:30. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it?" The great communicator, the great orator, the most famous preacher in the world, is at a loss for words. A red-letter day indeed. Pun intended. One would think that Jesus would never be at a loss for words. He matched with the best by retort and rebuttal, debate and discourse. But on this day, he has a little problem. He can't seem to put into words an accurate description of the kingdom of God. There's a story by Edwin A. Abbott that tells of a place called Flatland. Flatland is a two-dimensional world that exists in a plane infinitely flat, that's fully aware of right and left, but does not have any idea what up and down mean. To them, any penetration of their flat world by three-dimensional objects is magical and mystically appears and disappears as it passes through. What is magic to them is merely logic to us. His book is a most interesting excursion into dimensional thinking and relates the story of Christ entering our world and being hindered by lack of dimension. We could also suppose that it was very difficult for Jesus in many other ways. In the same way as the three-dimensional interloper in Flatland had to describe up and down, thick and thin, fat and skinny to folks that only knew two dimensions, Christ finds himself at a loss to explain to us what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom to which we've been invited likely is a city within another dimension. Cities that descend down from God out of heaven are not cities as we know them. Cities that have streets made of transparent gold are not cities with which we are now familiar. The 12 gates of this new city will be made of pearl, not pearly, as we've been told, but made of one pearl, solid pearl. Think of the oysters that must be there. Now it's become Jesus' goal to describe this kingdom to us. Do we find it odd that he chooses to describe our attitude and us in this kingdom rather than a physical description of its beauty and its tangible contents? The first glimpse of its beauty comes from John in the Revelation. Jesus himself never said a word about what it looks like. Why did he omit this? One of the misconceptions of the church at large is their understanding of their rewards. Many speak of going to heaven when they die, but the Scripture makes no such promise. This may shock some and hopefully provoke some to search out for themselves the truth concerning our reward. The promise was made for us to be with Christ where he is. Well, where is he to be? We see in the Revelation that the city of God, the bride of Christ, descends out of heaven from God and sits upon the earth. The new Jerusalem is set upon the earth, and within it dwells the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Scriptures, we're not going to heaven. Heaven is coming to us. This is, of course, a colloquial use of the word heaven I use to describe the splendor and glory of the city. The exciting thing is now that Christ has come, the kingdom of God is not something to wait for, to aspire to, or to strive within ourselves to attain. It is something that is a continuation of our life here on this earth, an everlasting life that starts here, not there. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, he spoke of a state of being within a person, a state of mind, or an outlook upon life in general. He spoke of the kingdom being within us and not coming with observation. He spoke of it growing from a small thing into an exceedingly large thing. It's not a new life over there. It's a continuation of the life started here from the second of conception by the Holy Ghost. Until we come to the fullness of Christ in us, until we finally wake from our long sleep unto the resurrection of the dead in Christ, this is why Jesus said in John 11:26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And again in John 8:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man shall keep my saying, he shall never see death." The life in Christ is a continuing life, a life that is not ended by death, but only interrupted by sleep, to awake again to everlasting life. The reward of eternity, as is known by the present-day church, is a sorry one. Thoughts of going up, going to heaven, playing harps and becoming angels, going to a place totally unfamiliar, totally unknown, cannot be considered a pleasurable thing to do. Most people who hold this idea are so thrilled about missing the fiery alternative that they don't really care about how boring it all sounds. The truth is that according to your Bible, our eternity will be a life like we live today, minus the evil influence. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years as we dwell with Christ on this earth. Isn't it exciting to think that the very soil under your feet is the soil of heaven for 1,000 years? If heaven were nothing more than these 1,000 years, it would be worthwhile. But it is to continue yet again. After that, the scriptures say, God will make a new heaven and a new earth. Really, not much is said about our existence then. We're not told about life there, what it will be like, or much of anything. Most of what we know is made-up Sunday school stuff. Most important is that we need to know that the life for which we strive is now, not later. We must shun the escapist ideas of missing hell, and we must forget the idealist ideas of utopia located in the clouds. Even the term heaven should be replaced with something closer to the idea found in Scripture. If reference were to be made to our eternal home, it would correctly be referred to as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, where our Father dwells now in heaven, and where Christ is preparing the New Jerusalem for us as a habitation. Also, it's important to realize that the perfection that awaits us there is to be strived for while we're here. The eternal life we anticipate is not something we're rewarded with in the by and by. It's the same life that was implanted in us by the Holy Spirit, the same life power in which we live and move and have our being today. As we've heard Paul say, "Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We call this life in us the kingdom of God, for that's what it is. It's the very life of Christ in you, continuing, progressing, and helping you become more like him. Jesus said, "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Our reward starts now and never ends. Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Like within an acorn, there is an oak tree. There is eternal life bound within this small and miserable one. It's like a mustard seed. It's like leaven hidden in a loaf of bread. It's a seed cast into the ground. It's at hand. What do you think? What is the kingdom of God like?